Bibles this evening to Romans chapter 1. Reading from verse 1. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, and haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents. That's where it all began. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do so, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we reverently approach thy word tonight, knowing that you are the author and finisher of this book. And knowing that it has nothing to do, O God, with our own understanding. It has simply to do with your understanding, for we have no understanding unless we have your Holy Spirit. So, Father, we just pray as we examine the end time conditions surrounding the insanity that we see on all fronts. We ask you, Father, to help us to be at peace, knowing that you have all things under control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Randall goes on in desperation. He says, and the things I see that's coming, and you can't tell the people. You see different things and you're forbidden. Them visions that they call on, and sometimes they'd be sorry if you did tell them. And you know better than to do it. And then you go so far in visions till everything becomes a vision, and it throws you into a nervous stage. You look and you say, well, now, am I in a vision? Like sitting here, setting it right here. Is this a vision? Where am I really standing at? See, you overwork yourself, you overtax yourself. And you find out things about people that you wish you didn't know. The people that desire those things to know these things, they don't realize what type of ministry, or what that type of a ministry costs. You don't know what goes with it. Then it throws into desperation. Lord God, I know I'm going to have to answer. I noticed that William Branham spoke concerning a nervous stage that can come over via the overtaxing and overworking of yourself. We found last Sunday that the foods that we eat and the stress can set off this end-time neurosis, which is an end-time insanity. So this evening we're going to continue in this study to see more of God's truth concerning the insanity that we see on a daily basis. From his sermon, Feast of the Trumpets, Brother Branham said, there's a great trouble somewhere. Everybody knows it. Everybody's become a neurotic. The whole world is a neurotic world. And we know there's something wrong. The Pentagon, everywhere, we know there's something wrong. Now, the first thing we think of is, okay, this neurosis, this neurotic condition, condition of insanity caused by the foods, caused by the stresses it bring on. But when it comes right down to it, it's a spirit. It's a demonic spirit that comes on the people, and it's because, as Paul, we read from Paul, because they turned down the word. Now, sometimes we want to just say, well, the people are just crazy. But what does that lead to? And that's what we want to look at, because we're seeing the evidence of it all around. Brother Graham said, every time you see a person that's crazy in the Bible, they stripped off their clothes. You see, it went to the sexual thing. From influence, Brother Ernst said, and if our American people are setting the pace today before our children of smoking cigarettes and the women and men drinking and cars in the house and dice, and what kind of a people will we have in the next race that is to come, or the next generation, rather, that is to come? It'll be a bunch of neurotics, and which I think the whole world is just about in that condition now. Then if this race, or this generation rather, is like this, what will the next one produce? Then if there would be another, why the whole human race, if it keeps going in the way it is, it will become extinct altogether. Because we're killing ourselves and setting examples for others.
set an example for others to do what? To kill themselves. What do you mean? Kill who you are. Now he's saying something here that is very, very noteworthy. He's saying about the way that this neurosis in his generation will bring on a neurosis that will produce extinction in the human race. So there's something here that we must understand about this neurosis that he's talking about. And we find in the next quotation, he ties this neurosis or insanity with what is happening in the social realm. From He Cares to You, he says, in social life, the people try to get together in this insane social life. Don't tell me the world's not insane in the doing the way it's doing. It sure is. Certainly, it's a neurotic world. And by the grace of God, it is the only way that we'll escape it. Notice, in this social life, the people has come to the place that they socialize little plans, and they get into there and they think, well, we're better than the next group, see? And it's just done that way, and it's the morals. It hits the morals of the people until, honest friends, I don't even believe that the word moral is recognized among 90% of the people of this nation. They don't even know what the word moral means. It's escaped from them. And it's done it so trickery. In other words, it's done so deceitfully. Now, the definition of the word moral is of or relating to or concerned with the principles of rules of right conduct or the distinction between right and wrong. Ethical. Moral attitudes. Expressing or conveying truths or counsel as to right conduct. Founded on the fundamental principles of right conduct rather than on legalities, enactments, or custom. It's moral obligations. In other words, saying, look, it goes beyond law, it goes beyond ethics, it goes beyond legalities or enactments or customs. It's capable of conforming to the rules of right conduct, a moral being. Conforming to the rules of right conduct opposed to immoral. A moral man, virtuous in sexual matters, he's chaste, relating to or acting in the mind, feelings, will, or character, moral support. In other words, it deals with the character. It goes right down to the soul, the moral being, the being who knows the difference between right and wrong. So morals has to do with having a right conduct and rules of right conduct. It has to do with the personification of what is right in the character of a person. Just as righteousness is an expression of doing what is right. And you cannot separate right doing from right thinking. A person who does not think right is incapable of doing what is right. So this argument that says, I've got the doctrine, I don't need the works, I'm counting on Brother Brown, he did the works, or the Baptist, Jesus did the works, therefore, I'm not counting on that to get there. They're not a righteous person. Because they're not really rightly wise in their thinking. Now, they may have the doctrine down, but they don't have a right, wise mind. Now, the Bible says in Isaiah 45:19, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said, not under the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. So therefore, you cannot separate righteousness from right. And in fact, righteousness is actually the doing of what is right. The righteousness from righteous. Righteous is the right way of thinking, and righteousness is the right way of doing. Therefore, you cannot separate righteousness from being right. And to think right will make you act right. And I disagree with those people who try in vain to claim that they are righteous simply on having a right doctrine. Brother Branham said himself that that you can have a right doctrine but be wrong in your heart and do what is not right in your actions, and you will have to answer for that. From Rising of the Sun, he said, Satan doesn't care how religious you are or how right you are in your doctrine. If you miss that life, you won't come up anyhow. No matter how religious or how good, how many churches you belong to or will belong to, or it doesn't matter on one thing unless you have been born again. Again, from Getting in the Spirit, he says, I don't care if the man's wrong, if he's wrong and sincere in his heart, and you're right in your belief, that's your doctrine, and you're wrong in the acting the way that you are acting, I'd rather be in his place than in yours. That's right. I'd rather be wrong in my doctrine and right in my heart. God will respect it more. I mean, God will respect more that you're wrong in your doctrine But you're right in your heart. Absolutely. That's what he just said.
Sure.
So if a man is wrong, what of him? Help him. He needs help. Love him. And if you can't love your enemy the same as you love those who you love, you're no better off than the publicans. That's right. That's what the church has failed to get. I hope you get it tonight. I hope you see what I'm talking about. Now, too many people think they're righteous, that the righteousness of God, that they are the righteousness of God because of their doctrine. But that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches you are righteous, you are righteousness because you are what is righteous. Therefore, we can say that righteousness is the act of doing right. And the Apostle John told us in 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. So, if they're not doing righteousness, they are not righteous. They might have their doctrine right and still go to hell. Because the devil has the doctrine right. He believes there's one God. And he's going, oh, he's already there. He's already there. He that doeth, there's your key. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, God, is righteous. And everything God does is from a rightly wise mind. So there's no way that you can be considered righteous outside of doing what is right. You can claim all day long that you're righteous because you have a right doctrine, but righteousness is not a condition of language nor doctrine. It has never been you as you. Oh, excuse me, yes. It has never been that you are because you claim that you are. Or you are because you say that you are. But righteousness is a result of what you do, and your doing is a reflecting or reflection of that which is righteous. Now, you might claim that you're right, therefore your actions are right, and thus righteous. But just because you say it so doesn't make it so. It's got to be expressed for it to be righteousness. Righteousness is a condition of doing what is right. So it has to do with actions, not just believing. We read in Psalm 106 and verse 3, blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Therefore, the Bible is not talking about a single act here and a single act over there. And then the man can say, well, I'm righteous because I did this or because I did this. But it's a constant walking in and doing what is right. In other words, if you're walking in the light, not if you walked at one time in the light. If you're walking in the light as he is in the light, you see, blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. And there's only one way that you could be this consistent, and that is that you have the mind of Christ and are filled with the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. In other words, you have been quickened and made alive in Christ, Romans 8 and 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of right wiseness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now notice, his Spirit has quickened, which means has been made alive your mortal body by his Spirit that is now living in you. And then Paul tells us in Romans 8 and 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to self to live after self, for if you live after self, you shall die. And I know many people who believe and profess the doctrine and they live for self. And they shall die. And they're dead right now as they live. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, and there's only one the Spirit, and that is God's own Spirit. And so God's Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's too many people that come to church and they just play. They play the game. They come Wednesday, they come Sunday. Well, don't come Wednesday, but they come Sunday. They're playing the game, and they think because they've got the doctrine, they're going to make it. Brother Hoffman was telling me a couple years ago, I think it was last year maybe. Maybe it was last time he was down in Argentina. He did a follow-up trip after our meeting in 2012. And he went to a certain brother's church, who the brother is very, very knowledgeable in the doctrine. He's done a lot of translations for us and a lot of work down there. Very knowledgeable. And Brother Don, he said, I preached, and everybody walked out, and they were happy, and they went outside, and they were fellowshipping, and whatever. He said, and I was very, very grieved in my soul.
And he said, just something got a hold of me, and I went outside. And I said, could I have everybody's attention? And everybody looked. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is very, very grieved. He said, you people are very cold. You think because you have an understanding of doctrine that you're right with God. Well, there's problems in this church. Many problems. And I believe the Lord doesn't want us to leave this church tonight until all of you get right with Him. He said they were there for another 2-3 hours. People weeping before God. 3 sisters came forward and said, I was going to leave my husband tonight. 3 different ones. I was on the way to leaving my husband tonight. And they made right with God. They made right with their husbands. That's why I constantly am hitting on these things. Because we think because we're going through the motions that we're there. But if the motions aren't in here, if there isn't a sighing and crying for the abomination done in the city, if it doesn't appall you every time you see the terrible things going on in this world, if it doesn't nauseate you and make you sick to your stomach, when you see sons and daughters of God so caught up into football and NASCAR and just all just this entertainment, and they're not getting their souls right, they're not gleaning, they're not combing through their lives to see if God is pleased or not. So we read in Acts chapter 13, verse 10. And he said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And here we see that unrighteousness is actually a perverting or deviating from true right wiseness or true righteous actions. Now, we read earlier where Paul says and the Spirit, God's Spirit, shall bear witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And for God's own Spirit to bear witness with our spirit that we are truly His sons and daughters, that bearing witness means that there is a manifestation in your life that's actually expressing the conduct of God in your life. That's God bearing witness with your spirit, His Spirit, bearing witness with your spirit, because His Spirit is actually living in your spirit. Like Paul said, I am dead. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I am living, but it's not me that's living. It's Christ living in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by His life. His manifestation, His revelation. You see? So, we are looking then at the conduct of God life, living your life, which will manifest and express that you are indeed living by the same God life that Jesus lived by. That's why he said it's the same Spirit that raised you up from the dead lives in you. It's also quickening you, making you alive. Now that leads us to what Brother Brown is telling us here in is your life worthy of the gospel? Notice the title. Just the title alone. Is your life worthy of the gospel? The gospel of Jesus Christ, who gave his life, he killed, he died so that you could live. Is your life expressing that? And before we read what he had to say, just look at that title. The title tells us a whole lot about the conduct of a brother or sister in regards to the gospel. That's why I don't go to Facebook anymore. I haven't been on Facebook for at least a couple months. It appalls me to see the carnality that's expressed on Facebook. Now, I could see where it's used for families to show pictures of their children and if they're at a distance from one another and those kind of things, but there's so much garbage that the sisters with their little, their lips and, and all this other stuff that they do, and they're posing and their pictures and everything else. They think that God is looking down from heaven, he's pleased with that? Or the guy's doing things that a son of God wouldn't do? Taking pictures of it, putting it all over the Facebook? I think Facebook is the devil's work. It has to be. It was seeded by the NSA money. And then Brother Brown tells us, in his sermon, he says, explains their condition. You can't. He said, explain their condition. You can't. They cut their hair. They wear the worldly clothes. They walk out on the street like that.
And you say, okay, Brother Random, you know, that's just a difference of opinion. No, it's not. A woman that cuts her hair, Brother Random is going into the soul. A woman that would wear immodest clothing, he's going to the soul and showing the insanity. It starts because there's a spirit that has turned down God. We read it in Romans 1. And that insanity comes on and they get rebellious. And the women want to cut their hair. They want to be like the man. Why would they want to be like the man? Because it leads to an LGBT. And you know what it does? As Brother Brown said, there won't be any more generations because nobody wants to have children. Abort, abort, abort is all they want to do. They want to have pleasure. They cut their hair, they wear the worldly clothes, they walk out on the street like that, and God's Bible warns against and even forbids a woman to even pray with bobbed hair and say that I'm at. And if she does that, she claims herself she claims herself to her husband that she's immoral herself. Now you say, well, how does cutting your hair claim that you're immoral? Just listen, we're getting right into it. Because that's that's just the beginning. That's just an outward trait of something that's totally immoral inside. What do you mean? She wants to be a man. She wants to be a man. She's rebelling against her nature. The nature she was born with. This is beautiful. If she does that, she claims herself to her husband that she's immoral herself, and he has a perfect right to give her a divorce and send her away from him. Now, he doesn't have a right to remarry. He said, that's exactly right. The Word of God saying that, and a woman hear that and continue to wear short hair and call herself a Christian, if that isn't a neurotic, what is a neurotic? I want somebody to tell me what a neurotic is then. Yes, they're neurotics. They're highly educated degrees in college, but we put more time on educating our children to algebra and biology than we have to the Bible and Jesus Christ. There ain't a kid in this country can tell you who David Crockett is. There isn't a third of them can tell you who Jesus Christ is. Then it's not neurotics? Certainly it is. How would you go on and on and on and how they do? Just remember, and the churches endorse it when the Bible condemns it. Is the ministry neurotics? Educated neurotics? That's exactly. Churches endorse it. The problem with America is it began in the pulpits. I want you to look at the neurosis when Brother Branham refers to here also as insanity. And we want to understand and see what he's saying through the eyes of God's prophet and thus through the eyes of God. Because remember, Psalm 103 and verse 6, we are taught, He, God, made known His ways unto Moses the prophet, but His acts unto the children of Israel. They saw the supernatural, they saw the sign, they saw the wonders, they saw the things take place, and they had no clue what was going on. And that's 95% of the people who have followed the pillar of fire, so-called, in this message, who claim that they believe God sent a prophet, and yet the first time they come across something, they throw vindication out the door, and they run off with that thing and say, Brother Brown's no longer a prophet. He's not a prophet. Who says so? Who's vindicated you to become judge? I thought the judge is standing at the door. So we understand that the prophet will see things coming very far away, things that the people will not catch until they actually see the full-blown manifestation of that thing. And as Brother Brand said, God interprets His Word by bringing it to pass. And I want you to notice the activities or the behaviors that Brother Brand is calling insanity or neurosis, and he calls them social insanity or social neurosis. And notice what he calls that, the cutting off of the woman's hair and the wearing of long hair by the man. Why would a man want to wear long hair? He's effeminate. He's becoming effeminized. The woman wearing clothing which pertains to a man and the man wearing clothing that pertains to a woman, they're going against their natural birth. They're the spirit. Now remember, we could take a lot more time on this and go into 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul says that he talks about, if they turn down the word, or if they hear the word from a false messenger. You see, what revelation you have will determine what spirit you have. And Paul says they have another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. And that word another
twice in there is the word allos, and not heteros. And it means they are of a different nature. You see, they hear a different gospel, a gospel of a different nature, and they take on a spirit, a different nature. Like Brother Brown said, people take the spirit of their pastor. They don't get the Holy Ghost. I mean, you know, most people, he says, they take on their pastor spirit. He said, the pastor drinks his coffee, he lifts his little finger like this. He said, the people in the church will do that. The women wearing clothes which pertain to a man, and the man wearing clothes which pertain to a woman, you say, well, that's just Bible. That's, you know, it shouldn't be done because it shouldn't be done. No, it shouldn't be done because it opens up to a spirit. An LGBT spirit. And he calls that immoral and perverted. And the word perverted is defined as changed to or being of an unnatural kind. Yeah, that's perverted. Being of an unnatural kind. Turn from what is right, become wicked, misguided, and distorted. So why would God be so displeased with a woman who wears clothing that belongs to a man? Because he is sexist? No. Because these things all lead to a perverting of the spirit and a changing of that which is natural to that which is unnatural. There is your LGBT problem that we see today. And it is a result of the masculinization of women's clothing and haircuts in the 50s and 60s until she looks more like a man today than the feminized men do. And the word masculinizing means to make masculine in character, in quality, and or appearance. And that is what we're seeing all over the nation. The president's wife has more muscles than the president. She's more masculine than he is. He rides around a little tricycle with a little children's hat on. He does things very feminine like, because he is. He's feminized. And she's got those triceps, you know, and biceps, and you know, she's lifting the big weights, and he's lifting the 2.5 pounders. You look at the picture sometime. Look at what they're doing. They're sending a signal out there. It's okay, men, to become women. It's okay, women, to become men. And it's a total perversion. It's a total insanity. There's 5,400 websites that are talking about this president is insane, like Nero was insane. And pointing out the evidences of his insanity. 5,400. The LGBT sodomite growth began with the seemingly innocuous trading of clothing styles in the 50s and 60s. And God's prophet saw this coming and what it would lead to. And Brother Brown pointed to the clothing and actions of the character of their spirit in his sermon, Jehovah Jireh, Part 1. He said, and you made a covenant with Adam and one with Eve, and you put different covenant and different altogether, and said it was wrong for the woman to act like the man. She'd be feminine. She should be feminine and not masculine, and today she tries to be masculine, the man feminish. And again, we see the same thing in the sermon, Is Your Life Worthy of the Gospel? Crime and the nation. The nation's got more crime than it ever had. And what's wrong? Teenagers, church members, taking lives. Men shooting their wives and family and burning up their children. And look at the crime rate. And they're not neurotics? Then what's the matter? Watch their actions. Power crazy nations. Everybody wanting to take the rest to make it one flag, one nation, and that be their flag and their nation. Power crazy. Immorality. Why, the world more immoral than it ever was. Nude women on the streets, nude women, and say that they're in their right mind. They can't be. They just can't be. Now, they've passed laws in Norway and Sweden way back. When Christina was only 11 years old, they took her there, and I had to go into the, when we went into the Five and Dime store, I had to go in and ahead of her down the aisle and turn around postcards that were men fully frontal. Completely. Without clothing. They're doing that in this nation today. You've got women in Baltimore, some woman in Baltimore, riding her bike and walking through town and jogging through town, and her and she got a group of friends and they're going topless and they think that this is okay. It's insanity. For me, is your life worthy of the gospel? He said, I want to ask you a question. Please explain their actions of today if they're not neurotics. Tell me what makes them act like they do if they're not neurotic, see? And you talk to any of them about Jesus Christ, and they'll be offended. And they'll follow the police if they want to. They'll say you assaulted them. Or you hurt their feelings because you mentioned Jesus Christ. You see, the changing styles back then was an indication of the insanity that had already began to show itself in the population. And today the cross-dressing is only a sign of the end-time insanity unleashed upon the people. The former Johns Hopkins chief of psychiatry, Dr. Paul R. McHugh, is a brilliant former psychiatrist-in-chief for Johns Hopkins Hospital. He's written over 125 peer-reviewed medical journal articles and has published half a dozen books, and he's quoted as saying recently, changing the sex of a human is not possible. And instead of a liberating sexual movement, those who think that they are transgender are actually suffering from a life-destroying mental disorder. When the man in Gadarenes, remember the man, his name was Mob, he was running around naked. Brother Branham pointed out, he said, when a person's insane, it's from spirits. He said, when they're insane, they tear the clothes off. When Jesus prayed over the man and all those demons left, he put clothes on. First thing he did, he put clothes on. When Brother Branham was preaching in Durban, South Africa, and the Holy Spirit swept through the audience, native women who were stark naked grabbed their blankets and wrapped around themselves. Because in the presence of a holy God, man recognizes himself as being naked. And notice he says, changing the sex of a human is not possible. And instead of liberating sexual movement, those who think they're transgender are actually suffering from a life-destroying mental disorder. And you know what? They want to force it in every school in America. The president last week, he gave an order. He doesn't have the authority to give an order like that. Congress doesn't have the authority to do such. And yet he gives an order. He says, we're not going to send any government funds to your schools unless you let the boys and girls share the same showers and the same locker rooms and same bathrooms. Total insanity. Nero was insane. What did he do? He destroyed Rome. He burned it down, then he blamed it on the Christians. You don't think that's coming? Now, I don't think we really need a highly successful psychiatrist to tell us what we already know to be the truth. But nevertheless, it is true. Brother Brown pointed out 50 to 60 years ago when he saw it in its infancy, and now today we see it in the news every single day. The end time insanity is here. It's not on its way. It has arrived. And you can look at a person who is insane, and most of the time you can tell they are just insane by looking at the way that they look and conduct themselves. I believe that the man in the White House today is mentally deranged as well. Not only can we tell by his agenda, but all you have to do is look at the man, look at his movements, look at his effeminate ways, look at his face. Look in his eyes, because the eyes are the gates of the soul. Same with Bruce Jenner. Back in 76 when he won the Olympics, I looked at the man with his hair flowing behind like a ponytail, and I said, that man is just not right. He's too effeminate. This is what he is today. He's a fruit. You can see those spirits of insanity in their very looks. In an article by Politico magazine, and there's an article called, Could America Elect a Mentally Ill President? And then they say, yes, in fact, we probably already did. And the article is by Alex Thompson, November or December issue 2015. And the article goes on to say, mental illness is surely more common in Washington than the public knows or wants to believe. And what makes people vote for a mentally disturbed person? Is it perhaps that birds of a feather flock together? Sure. Brother Brown said to Satan's Eden, and if that's so, and we see it so are you blinded. You're blinded to these denominations that Satan has twisted you into, And it's a perversion of God's original word and his kingdom and his plan for his children. Satan has twisted men and women into these things, and they don't know it. A perverted. No longer a son of God, bangs hanging down in the face and a pair of shorts on, tromping down the street, a son of God, deacon in the church, a pastor in the pulpit. No, that ain't a son of God. He never comes through God's thinking filter. And he wouldn't have them women's clothes on. He surely wouldn't. Neither would she have the man's clothes on. See? It's not a son of God. It's a son of Satan and a daughter of Satan. Hard thing to say, but Satan has succeeded in perverting and taking over this world and making it his kingdom that men was put on free moral agency to choose for themselves what kind of a life they desired, and that shows what's in your heart. Oh, now they did. Well, we have free moral agency. Today I want to be a girl. Tomorrow I want to be a boy. Today I want to be a girl. So the boys, I don't remember if it's Oregon or what state it was, the boys went into the girls' locker room, took a picture of the girls showering. Now it's all over Facebook. I don't watch Facebook, so I haven't seen it. I just know what I've read. But that's a sick condition of the nation that we're in. And people want to send their kids to public school? I would never, in this day and age, send my children to a public school. Not for one second. Children are your heritage. Now, Dr. Paul R. McHugh, Johns Hopkins chief psychiatrist, retired. He said, transgendered men don't become women. They become feminized men, impersonators. And did you know that the effeminate will never enter heaven? Did you know the Bible says that? And it puts the effeminate along with homosexual and along with fornicators and along with adulterers. Dr. R. McHugh, Johns Hopkins Medicine, Dr. Paul R. McHugh, the distinguished service professor of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins University and former psychiatrist-in-chief for Johns Hopkins Hospital, who has studied transgendered people for 40 years. That's a long time. That puts it back into the 70s. How many remember Renee Richards, who was born Richard something or other, Raitkin? And he became a woman so he could play in the women's professional tennis in the 70s. Anybody remember? Remember Anna Jean King or whatever her name was? Billie Jean King, yeah. Billie Jean King. And there was some old guy that played her in tennis, and she was built like a man.
Bobby Riggs.
Bobby Riggs, yeah, that's it. Bobby Riggs. You see where this all goes back? It goes back to the 70s. These were the first ones to come out. And now the floodgates have opened. And we're seeing it everywhere. He said, transgendered men do not become women, nor do transgendered women become men. All such people, he explained in an article for the Witherspoon Institute, become feminized men or masculinized women, counterfeits, or impersonators of the sex with which they identify. Dr. McHugh, who was psychiatrist in chief at Johns Hopkins Hospital for 26 years, the medical institute that had initially pioneered sex change surgery and later ceased the practice, stressed that the culture men or idea that one sex is fluid and a matter of choice is extremely damaging, especially to young people. And that's who's being affected the most today. Caitlyn Jenner, picture of her there, him. Excuse me, in a dress. The idea that one's sexuality, McHugh is still talking. The idea that one's sexuality is a feeling and not a biological fact is doing much damage to families, adolescents, and children, and should be confronted as an opinion without biological foundation wherever it emerges. So Dr. McHugh in his article, Transgenderism, a pathogenic meme. I'm ever trying to be the boy among the bystanders who point to what's real, said Dr. McHugh, who is also professor of psychiatry and behavioral science at Johns Hopkins. I do so not only because the truth matters, but also because overlooked amid the hoopla, enhanced now by Bruce Jenner's celebrity and Annie Leibovitz's photography, stand many victims. Now think, for example, of the parents whom no one, not doctors, schools, nor even churches, will help to rescue their children from these strange notions of being transgendered and the problematic lives these notions heralded, warned McHugh. Again, here's a picture in the 70s of Richard Rakin, alias Rene Richards, with, guess who? Bruce Jenner. Huh? You don't think that spirit went from that one to that one? You be careful with spirits. That's why my wife, she brings along germicide when we go into just about any place. Now think, for example, the parents, he says. Not doctors, not schools, not even churches will try to rescue that child. You know why? They're afraid the government will come in. Who cares about the government? I don't care. They can throw me in jail. I could care less. God can also deliver me like he delivered Peter. They rarely find therapists who are willing to help them work out their conflicts and correct their assumptions, said McHugh. Rather, they and their families find only gender counselors who encourage them in their sexual misassumptions. In addition, he said, both the state and federal governments are actively seeking to block any treatments that can be construed as challenging the assumptions and choices of transgendered youngsters. But there is plenty of evidence showing that transgendering is a psychological rather than a biological matter, said Dr. McHugh. In fact, gender dysphoria, the official psychiatric term for feeling oneself to be of the opposite sex, belongs in the family similarly disordered assumptions about the body, such as anorexia nervosa and body dysmorphic disorder, said McHugh. In other words, like the girl who was a good singer and she thought she was fat and she wasn't. She had anorexia and so she wouldn't eat. And then if she did eat something, she'd put her finger down, throw it up so she wouldn't have any nutrition. And eventually she killed herself. Don't you realize that's what most hosts do in the body? They kill the victim and then they go on to find another victim. Its treatment should not be directed at the body with surgery and hormones any more than one treats obesity-fearing anorexic patients with liposuction. He said, in fact, at Johns Hopkins, where they pioneered sex change surgery, we demonstrated that the practice brought no important benefits, said Dr. McHugh. As a result, we stopped offering that form of treatment in the 1970s. In recent years, though, the notion that one sex is fluid has flooded the culture. It is reflected everywhere in the media, the theater, the classroom, and in many medical clinics, said Dr. McHugh. It is biologically false that one can change one's sex, explained Dr. McHugh. Transgendered men do not become women, nor do transgendered women become men, he said. All, including Bruce Jenner, become feminized men or masculinized women, counterfeits or impersonators of the sex with which they identify. In that lies their problematic future. When the tumult and shouting died, McHugh continued, it proves that not easy nor wise to live in a counterfeit sexual garb. The most thorough follow-up of sex reassigned people extended over 30 years and conducted in Sweden, where the culture is strongly supportive of the transgendered, documents their lifelong mental unrest. 10 to 15 years after surgical reassignment, the suicide rate of those who had undergone sexual reassignment surgery rose to 20 times that of comparable peers, said McHugh. 20 times. That's 2,000% higher suicide rate. Nonetheless, the false assumption that one's sexual nature is misaligned with one's biological sex can be treated with therapy and medication, said McHugh. And that's where I disagree. They need an exorcism. They've got demons. Chemicals ain't going to help them. You're going to stupefy them a little more. Maybe mollify their mind. But they got demons. And the only way they'll get rid of those demons is come to Christ. That's the only answer. He further stressed that what is needed now is public clamor for coherent science, biological and therapeutic science, examining the real effects of these efforts to support transgendering. But gird your loins if you would confront this matter. In other words, get ready to run. Warned Dr. McHugh. Hell hath no fury like a vested interest masquerading as a moral principle. Dr. McHugh's article, Transgenderism, a Pathogenic Mem, can be read in its full at the website. Even science
is now coming around. True science, not this hokey baloney
that goes out there calling themselves science. The Apostle Paul warned us in the first chapter of Romans what will happen when a person leaves the Word of God. He's in Romans 1:20, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. They professed themselves to be wise, when they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into a corruptible image, wherefore God also has given them up unto uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affection," vile, you know what that word means, "for even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature." You see that? "And likewise also the men leaving the nature, the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." Look, LGBT. Lesbian, gay, LG, what's it be? Bi, I guess, and transvestite. In other words, it's all homosexual. It's all sodomites. It's all return to Sodom. "As it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." In other words, not natural. "Being filled with all unrighteousness," unrightwiseness. In other words, being filled with not doing anything that is rightly wise. In other words, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents," that's where it began, "without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and merciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." So we see that when men depart from the living God, the living Word, they open themselves up to satanic influences that brings on insanity and is expressed by men and women doing things which are not natural for them to do. It brings on a twisted spirit which leans to going against the very nature for which they were made. Now there's over 5,400 articles, as I mentioned, on the internet that deal with the mental illness in the White House. That means it is very apparent what is going on. And those who wish to bury their heads in the sand will continue to deny these truths, just like the people of Rome when it was very apparent that Nero was insane. Now history will tell you the man was insane. Back then they were afraid. Hitler was insane. And the people let insane people run. Run them. Somebody ought to just, you know, do what they can to stop that kind of stuff. Now I find Brother Brown telling us in his sermon, Satan's Eden, that where's the White House physician? You got to go to Congress and say, "Look, this man is insane. He needs to be impeached right now. He needs to be taken out." But you can't find the rest of Congress because they're as insane. They sold their birthright to the globalist agenda. Now, right on our radios and televisions and all kinds of filth and gom in Hollywood, all kinds of sex and dirty, filthy dresses for women, and men being perverted and taking the women's apparel and cutting their hair like women and women like men. Oh, God, what a horrible hour that we're living in. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord, cleanse us by the blood. Take all the filth and guile away from us. Let us live, Lord. Let us live under the blood constantly before you. It's our heart's desire and our sincere plea. Again, from Satan's Eden, he said, "Men, now, you may differ with me on this, but that's the truth. You have been perverted and you don't even know it. You don't act like a man no more. Coming so soft and they soon be nothing to them anymore. Men and women, too. They are a society. There's an organization. Why? John next door wore shorts, so why can't I? Luella wanted me to wear them because John wore them next door. And well, if Susie Jane can wear them, so can Martha Jane wear them, or Susie Lou, or whoever her name is. See, it's a society. It's an organization. You spiritually belong to it and don't know it. And because you don't want to offend anybody, you don't say nothing. And you're going to be held accountable at the White Throne for not standing with the gospel. It's sickening. It's sick behavior. Again, from his sermon Paradox, Brother Branham warned us
A few weeks ago, in the meeting in New York City, I'd come out one night from the Morris Auditorium, and we were walking down the street, my son and I, and we looked upon the people, and there were just thousands and men with hair like women, and you know, and what they call ratted and earrings and leotards on. I guess that's leotards. Leotards on, and white and colored children, and you know what I mean. Men and women together, and a poor old woman fell on the street. Nobody picked her up, just went on. And I helped her get her oranges and picked up like that. Old thing, about 70 years old. And she looked at me real strange and went down the street. And I spoke to the cab driver about it. And he said, "Mister, when anybody comes to New York and acts like that, like that they're in their right mind," he said, "we know he's a stranger." See? And said, "Them are good people," said, "but they just get into that swing." Said, "You take a man that comes here, it isn't long till he's in that same condition. He comes in here and he tries to do everything." Said, "And you could lay there and die in the street with a heart attack, and nobody would think somebody think you're a drunk. Never even they never touch you. It lets you lay there and die." See, they don't mean to be that way. It's just getting in the swing. That's why people better be careful when they say, "I want my kids to go to a public school because I want my kids to have some social interaction." That is a lie from the pit of hell. People told me that when I was raising my kids. I said, "I would rather my kids go through life and not have any fellowship and get into heaven where they're going to have fellowship for eternity than to see them perverted by some teacher or some schoolmate." Train your children up the way they'll go, and when they get older, not depart. It doesn't say let the schoolmaster do it for you. Let the lesbian instructor or the gay instructor teach your kids. And I'm thankful my children stood their ground. My daughter Sarah stood up against a lesbian English teacher that wanted to push the lesbian agenda on the students. And she got a petition of the students, and they got her fired. I wish every student would do that. Get rid of them. One by one, get rid of them. From a sermon, "Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy," Brother Bram says, thinking as Brother Henry said there, "Those men with them hair like the women should have." You see? That's right. Look like, and I see these boys kind of have that hair. They even put their rollers, curlers in it, around their face. And I don't know, sometimes I become so discouraged. It looks like that. It's a true time of perversion. Men are trying to wear women's clothes. Women are wearing men's clothes. Men leaving their hair like women, and women having their hair like men. What's the matter with these people anyhow? Has it? And really, the very threads of decency and honor have left this nation and these people in this world. This is a horrible time, but it's the most glorious time in the world to preach the gospel. If these things don't get you desperate, and in a condition of desperation, I don't know what Albert will. I don't want my grandchildren to be raised up and see this kind of stuff and have to cover their eyes when you go into places in the mall, different places. From works of faith expressed, we realize, Father, that we're a dying generation of people. We're heading faced with eternity. The world has gone insane. Murders. Over 100 murders. I think a month in Chicago. It's insane. Murders, little girls being cut to pieces and ravished. The people, men wearing their hair like women. Women like men. They're just perverting. The race is dying. You remember in Miami a few years ago, last year, guy running around naked, jumped on a man, chewed his face off. Insane. The race is dying. The world's dying. Everything's dying. The church is dying. Oh God, bring life. Bring life, O God, life of faith. Reveal to these people, Lord. I can only pray and lay my hands upon them, but you're the one that can heal them, and you alone can heal them. And I pray that you will, Father, to each and every one. Grant it with my hands up upon them, and asking with all my heart in the name of Jesus, heal these people. In closing, from Faithful Abraham, Brother Ransom, now this first man, Adam, look at him. In spirit, he was both feminine and masculine, and then he was made flesh. And he had no helpmate. No, it's when he was still yet not in flesh. Okay. Then God, a woman is not in the original creation of God. She's a byproduct of the man. So to make them one, to show that what he did, he opened up the side of Adam, took the part of Adam's flesh so that they wouldn't be separated, they'd be one, and took part of Adam's spirit, part of Adam's flesh, took the feminine spirit off of Adam and made an Eve. And when you see a woman, the way some of the, our modern women, hair's cut like men, smoke like men, cuss like men, and you see a woman that wants to be masculine, there's a perversion there somewhere. And when you see a man sissified with it and look like a duck sitting on the back of his head and so forth like that and wants to wear women's clothes all the time, there's something perverted there somewhere. God made men to be men and women to be women. The Bible says so. And from leadership, he said, "Oh God, let me go, Lord. Don't leave me behind, Jesus. Let me go with you, Father. I don't want to stay here on this earth to watch these tribulations coming on. I don't want to stay here with this in this insanity. I don't want to stand here with when hideous sights of people losing their mind. We look at men trying to act like beasts and look like beasts, and the women trying to look like animals and with the paints on their face and knowing that these things are predicted to happen. That the thing will and they're so and they'll go so insane till locusts will rise up with hair like men to haunt the women and teeth like lions and things like that." And you said the mental condition of people will be completely gone. We see it in the making right now. Lord, help us. Restore us to the same mind of Christ, Jesus our Lord. O great leader of eternal life, we accept your promise tonight, Father. I plead with his people. I plead for every one of them in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. I pray that Christ, the Son of God, will come into our hearts of every one of us, Lord, and mold us and make us into new creatures in Jesus Christ. Grant it, Lord God. We love you. We want our dispositions, our change to come into us, that we can be your children, feel of your Spirit moving in our hearts, Lord, tendering us and bringing us to a realization of this insane age that we're living in. Grant it, God. When we see young women so caught up in the web of the devil, young men, perverted minds, children, dope addicts, cigarette smoking, drinking, immoral, Satan's Eden. And from when their eyes are opened. My testing Jack Ruby the other day for insanity. They're still doing it. The whole world's insane. Sure, the man's crazy. No man can shoot another without being crazy. The whole world's crazy. Certainly it is. The farmer, he's crazy to the businessman. The businessman's crazy to the farmer. Who is crazy? The whole group is it. There's only one sane thing, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And his gospel has the answer to everything. Our books of psychology and all these things are nonsense. If it's contrary to this word, throw it all out. Throw it all away. God's word is right and all others are wrong. You see these things? No wonder the world's become drenched in blood. No wonder the things are the way that they are now. We don't, and it just every time, and wonder if Oswald, that murderer present, wonder if he'd have got an insane test. I doubt it. But you see, how can a man run in and shoot another man and take his wife and go on? Well, I'm in Texas. I better just stop that now. But let me tell you something. The Lord will take care of it someday at his coming. Notice, you have no right to take another man's life. No, sir. God's the only one has a right to take life. And it's true. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we've covered a lot of material tonight showing the day and the hour which we're living. And the whole world is going insane because this is not just a thing here in the United States. It's all over Europe. It's even going into South America and South Africa and into Africa. And we have a president in Africa, in Uganda. And with his legislation, Lord, they have the manliness to make it illegal to be a homosexual, to be a sodomite. And the whole world condemns them. Father, we pray for those people that would take a stand like that. We pray that your righteousness would take a last stand, oh God, before it's all destroyed. And we ask you, Father, to gather us together to your word. May our spirits be so one with yours that when you leave this earth, we'll go with you. That's our great desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. Let's sing that song as we stand to our feet and worship him in closing.
The Lord.